Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. I'm sitting here in my home office at the beginning of January. I think it is the 9th of January today. This is the first time I'm recording since last year. I've just, in the second week of December, I headed off to South Africa for 3 weeks for a wonderful holiday in the South African sun, just in my hometown, spending a lot of time with my family, my sister, her husband, and her children, my niece and nephew, who are 2 and 5, and my dad, and then my mom and my stepdad as well. Fortunately, they all live very close to each other in a small town, so it's very easy just to go back, be in one place, and spend a lot of time together. It was a very busy holiday. It was a very healing holiday in some ways. Just, I always find the way that my system is wired, you know, I can't just go on holiday and have a nice time. I think as soon as my nervous system has a bit of space, it tends to bring up some bits and bobs that need to be processed and need to be worked through. So I think going back to the place where I grew up, or at least I spent the first, maybe 23, 24 years of my life, there's so many memories there and just, you know, the scenery, the smells, the weather, the temperature, the birds, there's so much memory held in the body. And going back to that place with the somatic awareness that I now have from all the work that I've done myself, it was kind of like a bit of a trigger, not in a bad way, but it was still challenging, obviously, to be triggered. But yeah, there was a lot of triggering, shall we say, that came up. And as I processed a lot of old emotions, perhaps from the past, that all needed to be processed in the journey of healing. So just, you know, a wonderful time, especially spending time with my niece and nephew, who are fantastic little monsters, and a very sort of healing time as well in terms of my own personal growth. And just a really, really beautiful time. I spent some time with an old childhood friend, a friend of mine who we've known each other since we were 6 years old. We had a wonderful weekend together. I did a lot of walking on my own in the beautiful scenery, and it was just lovely. And I've since come back to the cold UK weather, but today it is a freezing cold, but gorgeous sunny day. It's one of those days where the sky is blue, and if you couldn't feel the temperature, you would think maybe it was summertime, but actually it's just absolutely freezing. I was down on the beach this morning at about 7:30 before the sun came up, and it was just the most beautiful day, just with that pre-sunrise light. And I did a really long walk on the beach, and it was just a really beautiful way to start the day, although it did take me about an hour to warm up once I got home. So my body is still recalibrating to the cold. But anyway, everything I'm sharing right now with you is neither here nor there in terms of the context of this episode, but I thought I would just give you a little update to life right now. By the time this episode publishes, I think we will be in February, so probably be about a month's time. And everything I'm sharing right now in this moment will have long gone, but it is just nice to, I guess, paint a little picture of what's been happening. From a business perspective and a work perspective, I guess I've just been getting back into things with the new year. This week has been a bit of a quieter week compared to how some weeks can go, mostly because in December, everybody's like, oh, I need to speak with you first thing in January. And then we get to January and then they realize they're not ready yet. And then everybody postpones their appointments, which is very frustrating from a practice point of view, but it is just the nature of the beast. So, quieter start to the new year, I guess, work-wise, but the next few weeks will be quite busy. And hopefully we'll be taking on some new clients again from February. If you are on the waiting list, that is the best place to be to find out more about these types of things. But what I actually wanted to talk about today was looking at a discussion around different ways we can approach this healing journey, looking through the lens of the nervous system. And I've been doing a little bit of writing. At some point in time, I may write a book. And I have just feel like there's so much to share, and I don't know even where to begin or how to structure things. So one of the things I'm doing at the moment is just writing down thoughts and as they come to me. I woke up this morning and I felt like I just needed to write about this topic. And then I was writing and I thought, oh, this would actually make a great podcast episode. So what I'm going to share with you is some of my writing from this morning and just go into this idea of the different ways we can approach our recovery through the lens of the nervous system. And before I go into that, maybe I have spoken about the nervous system on previous episodes. I have a really great workshop, which is the Getting to Know Your Nervous System workshop. It's free. It's 90 minutes. It's on my website. You just go to annamarsh.co.uk/workshop. Put your details in there. You can watch it straight away. You can watch it in chunks if you need to pace. And I always get such positive feedback from that workshop. So if you know that nervous system work is important in your healing journey, but you don't really fully understand it yet, that is such a great place to start. And then off the back of that workshop, you also do have the option to start the Nurturing Resilience subscription, which is the nervous system course that I have, which I changed in September last year to be a subscription-based model just to make it really accessible, really affordable and low risk for people to engage with. And that seems to be working really, really well. If you really want to understand the nervous system more, those are the best resources for you. What I did want to start off with in the context of this podcast is just to do a very, very brief recap so that there's some understanding as I talk about some of these aspects in terms of how we approach healing. When we're looking at the nervous system, we've got two branches. We've got the parasympathetic branch and we've got the sympathetic branch of the nervous system. And I think most people are familiar with fight or flight, that sort of terminology. So the sympathetic branch is what governs fight or flight, that survival, mobilization, energy. That's what we would associate with sympathetic activation of the nervous system. Where things get a little bit confusing are on the parasympathetic side of the nervous system, where we have some subcategories. So we've got our ventral vagal response, which is responsible for regulation. So when we are regulated, we feel capable in life, we feel present, we feel good, we feel resourced. There's a sense of okayness. Doesn't mean that we don't go through challenging things or have difficult experiences, but when we are in our ventral vagal, there's a connection with our own unique ability to be able to cope and manage. Then on the other side, we've got the dorsal vagal. So the dorsal vagal complex is more associated with what I would call the handbrake. So it's this sort of shutdown or freeze type of situation. So when we have freeze in the system, there can sometimes be a lot of charge, a high sympathetic charge, and then a shutdown, or basically when the charge, the sympathetic activation, that fight or flight energy has become so great, so overwhelming that it all just becomes too much and the body sort of stops or freezes to act as a form of self-protection. And then the other kind of side of that is when we have this more of a shutdown, immobile response, but it's very sort of flat, and there's not a lot of energy. And that can often be associated with depression or hopelessness or sadness or maybe even grief, although grief is very complicated. We can have that sort of shutdown or avoidant way of being. And so today, what I'd really like to talk about is maybe just some reflections on how our nervous system state can potentially then influence how we show up in our healing journey. It probably goes without saying, but the most empowering or the most successful way for us to navigate our healing journey is from a place of regulation. So this is when we are mindful and we are intentional and we're well-paced and we're slow and we're steady. And if you were anything or you are anything like how I was in my healing journey, I was none of those things. I wasn't mindful, I wasn't intentional, I wasn't well-paced, and I definitely was not slow and steady. In fact, some of the different things that I'll share today, you know, I resonate with all of them. And so part of the healing journey is moving our nervous system closer towards a place of regulation so that we can then embody mindfulness, intentionality, good pacing, slowness, steadiness, the ability to rest and take breaks, not feel like we have to be healing all the time as we navigate the journey. So it's like the regulation is supportive for our nervous system, but the regulation is supportive of also how we then tackle the healing journey as a whole. And many of us have arrived in a place of poor health because of years, decades of high stress, unprocessed trauma. And then there's a straw that breaks the camel's back, or there's like a slow burn and something changes, our health shifts in a permanent way. Our health status when we become unwell is a consequence of all this instability and dysregulation in our system. So it would be absolutely normal and human that as you approach your healing journey, you're probably, at least in the initial stages, for the most part, going to be approaching it from a place of dysregulation. And so today's episode is not about making you wrong, not about calling you out, not about saying you're doing it the wrong way, you're doing it badly, you're never going to heal if you do it like this. It's actually, we really want to have respect and what is the right word that I'm looking for here? We want to have respect and probably also gratitude for the way that we have been able to survive this long. You know, I always say to my clients, you've got this far, like you made it, you got here. And the only reason why you're still here alive and breathing is because of your nervous system. And your nervous system has just been doing the best that it can to help you cope, to protect you, to help you survive. So all the patterns that we adopt over time are a reflection of your resilience to keep on going. And really what we're just wanting to think about now is that how you got here might not be how you want to continue. So through this episode, maybe see how you are approaching your healing journey, starting to become aware of the patterns that are perhaps repeating themselves, and then take some consideration to what you could do differently as you approach your healing journey, but also perhaps to have that sort of deep compassion and gratitude for yourself for the fact that you've managed to get this far. So as I said already, is if you're anything like me, you may have had this experience of just wanting to rush ahead. And I know this is not everyone's experience, but it was mine. And you just want to do everything and anything to alleviate the discomfort that comes with being unwell and get back to your old life as quickly as possible. And this can be a sign of what we will call sympathetic activation in the nervous system, which is basically rushing. When there's a sense of urgency, I need to do this now. I need an appointment with a practitioner now. I need to get my test done now. I need to see the doctor. I need to order the supplements. I need to do all the things, just, you know, tackle this head on, really go for it. And probably neglecting the need to slow down, the need to process, and the need to rest. And so this was me in my journey, although as I said already, I can identify with other aspects that I'll share today, is that I think for a very long time, I've had a strong achiever, very driven, very self-motivated, go, 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 can really push through, pushing through with exercise, pushing through with work, you know, burning the candle at both ends. That was me before I became unwell. And so I guess my system has a tendency towards mobilization. It's like we mobilize the energy and we find a solution and we take the action and we fix it. And that doesn't allow a lot of space for just sitting in discomfort. It doesn't allow a lot of space for feeling feelings. It doesn't allow a lot of space for processing. So rest was really hard for me. And pacing was also really hard for me because I had a system that just wanted to go. If we're talking about fight or flight, just a system that wanted to flee or run away from any discomfort at the thought that I was unwell and that my life was changing forever. So that is an example of somebody approaching their journey from a place of sympathetic activation. And as I said, it's just these patterns are, they're just the patterns that we learn through our life experiences to help us survive. And my system has a very, very strong tendency towards mobilization, towards sympathetic activation. So we've talked about regulation, which is that mindful, intentional, well-paced, slow and steady approach. That was something that I've learned over time, and I've really had to model that for clients. We talked now, I've just shared my experience with sympathetic activation, which is the second one. But let's talk about freeze. So freeze is, I want to, but I can't. As I've described already, as we go into a freeze, often when there's so much activation in the system that the body becomes overwhelmed, and then sometimes the handbrake goes up, whoops, and it stops us. It stops us. If we're talking through the sort of nervous system language, it's like, it's not safe to move forward. It's not safe to move action. I'm too overwhelmed. Everything is too much. Kind of like a deer in the headlights, very like gridlocked. There's a lot of energy because you have all that sympathetic activation in your system, but it's sort of also sympathetic activation with that dorsal vagal branch of the nervous system, which is creating the freeze. And so there can be a sense of wanting to do all the things. I need to change my diet. I need to go to therapy. I need to take these supplements. I need to have a morning routine, but none of it happens. There's procrastination and there's a strong desire, but then a difficulty actually taking action and doing them. And so these are the clients, like I have the clients, people who email me, "Hi, Anna, just wondering how long your waiting list is. Hi, Anna, I'm very self-motivated. I'm so keen to get going with you. Hi, Anna, just wondering like when we can get started. I'm really keen." And then you start working with these clients, you do the intake process, you set out the plan, and then you see them in a month's time and they're like, I'm so sorry. I just haven't been able to get started yet. And this is not as a judgment or a criticism. It's an observation of the large amount of freeze in this person's system, because there's that desire, there's that energy, but for whatever reason, it can't be successfully applied and we can't actually start to mobilize enough to take the actions which are needed to support health. And we'll talk about how we solve each of these issues as I speak more about each topic, but that's an example of where there is freeze. The next one, which is the fourth one, the final one that I'll talk through today, is this shutdown, avoidant, very immobile, sort of flat type of nervous system state. So this is the dorsal vagal complex without all that sympathetic energy behind it. And this may prevent as someone who's just really, really low. Now, usually these people don't reach out to me because there's just not perhaps enough motivation and desire to do so. but they can sometimes, and they might inquire, but never like get back to the emails, or they never follow through because there's this feeling of like knowing they need to do something, but feeling a little bit lost or feeling a bit unclear about what direction they want to go in. Or there's just sort of a deep sense of hopelessness. They haven't yet been able to process what's happened to them. There may be excessive resting. So they know, we know rest is important, but it's almost over resting, too much fear to move forward and even mobilize a little bit. Perhaps there's some escapism, lots of watching TV or reading books or listening to podcasts, but there's no mobilization of that energy. And maybe just overall, just avoiding the possibility that anything can be done. Perhaps those people who are like, oh, there's nothing, the doctor said there's nothing they can do for me, so this is my life now. And so, as I said, these types of people are not the types of people that I work with very often, because there's often not enough energy in their system for them to reach out and start a process with me. But there might be points in a journey with certain clients when they tap into this a little bit, just due to big things that have happened in their life, a buildup of stresses, you know, something new coming to the surface that their nervous system wants to heal through. So we do touch into this a little bit from time to time. And so here I just wanted to reiterate that whatever, maybe I'll just back up a little bit and say, perhaps you see yourself in one of these four that I've described. Perhaps you see yourself as regulated, mindful, intentional, well-paced, slow, and steady. Or maybe you see yourself as the rushing, you know, trying to do all the things. These are the clients when I meet them and they're like, so I'm doing the cold plunges and I'm doing the sauna and I'm doing the parasite protocol and I'm measuring my blood sugar and I've got my morning routine and I'm doing this. What else can I do? And I'm like, less. The thing you can do is less. So maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you recognize the sort of more freeze in your system that I want to, but I can't. I know there's all these things I should be doing, but for whatever reason, I'm just not doing them. And then, or maybe you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, actually, I'm pretty shut down. I've been avoiding the fact that I need to do something about my health. And I just keep on going back to my comforts and escaping into the familiar. And I'm not really moving forward in my journey. And actually, when I think about it, that's something that I really want to do. So maybe you see yourself in one of those, or maybe sometimes even a combination of those, because sometimes the sympathetic activation can spill over into freeze, or sometimes the regulation can spill over into sympathetic activation and then freeze. So we're not necessarily locked in. You're either this type or you're that type. This is an organic process and it's changing all the time. But we obviously want to be more operating more from a place of regulation than not. But whatever you present with, I think it's just really important to understand that that doesn't make you bad or it doesn't make you wrong in any way. It's just a reflection of what's going on for you right now and the coping mechanisms that your system learned in order to survive. However, it's kind of like is the chicken or the egg, right? It's like to have the most success in our healing, we need to approach our healing from a regulated place and we need to be regulated in order to heal. So what I'd like to go into next is just talking a little bit about what we can do depending on the place that we're in right now. So regulation is what we ultimately want to achieve in order to move forward in our healing journey. And just to say that sometimes the fastest way to get there is slowly. So if approaching your journey from a more regulated place, especially if you're someone who's more prone to the sympathetic activation side of things, sometimes it can feel too slow, or it can feel like, well, then I just wouldn't get there fast enough. Or how am I ever going to get better if I do it this way? And actually, to do things more slowly, but with intentionality and mindfulness, often is what pays off in the long run. And that's sometimes what I say to my clients, especially the ones who are more prone to freeze and shut down, is I can tell the difference between somebody who's moving forward and somebody who's stuck. And I have clients that, you know, every time we speak, they've just done a little bit more and then a little bit more. It's like they started one new supplement. They implemented one new change. I'm like, great. Something shifted since we last spoke. You're doing great. There's a difference between going slowly and feeling stuck or stagnant and not making progress. And so we don't want to judge ourselves for the pace at which we're moving. The pace that we move should just really be the pace which is right for our system. The more capacity you have, the more things you can take on, the more things you can do, the smaller capacity you have, the less you can take on, the less changes you can do on a month-by-month basis. But both people are operating at the perfect pace for them. And that's something to hold on to and something to remember. So how do we work out what that is for us? And so if we're working through things from a place of regulation, it should feel manageable. It should feel supportive. We should feel like we're making little bits of progress, even if it's very slow progress. And we should be able to enjoy the journey alongside our healing. We're not completely consumed by appointments and dietary changes and protocols and supplements that we've sucked all the joy out of our life. We should be able to heal and experience joy and do things that we love and just have an overall sense of grounding in the process. So that's what we're working towards. And if you are somebody who is more prone to sympathetic activation, so that fight or flight energy in your system, slowing the pace down, doing less, stripping things back is probably going to feel really uncomfortable. You know, and these, as I said already, these are the clients who come to me and they're like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this, I'm doing all these things. And sometimes I just have to say, well, we need to do less. Let's simplify your supplement routine. Let's simplify your dietary restrictions. Let's, you know, take away some of all of these extra things that you're doing and just make things really simple. And sometimes when I have this conversation with clients, there's relief. There's like, oh, you mean I don't have to do all these things all the time? I'm like, yes. And they're like, thank God for that. But then there can also be resistance, which is, what if I stop doing these things? Will I go backwards? Will I feel worse? And so we maybe also just need to look at the underlying beliefs that are keeping us with this sense of urgency. It might mean that, you know, we're never going to get better if we don't do all of this right now, or life is going to fall apart if we slow down. And so we really want to give the system time to adjust. So making changes at a small, manageable pace, starting to slow down slowly, just a little bit more slowly than before. Maybe take one thing away, adjust to that. Maybe make one change, adjust to that. And we have to offer reassurance and alternatives to the part of ourselves that's fearful about slowing down and that's maybe holding these unwanted beliefs about slowing down. And so this is where, you know, taking a nervous system program like the Nurturing Resilience program can help with dealing with some of the sympathetic buildup in the body. We want to create changes in the mind, and we can rationalize less is more. I need to slow down. I should do things differently. But we also need to have ways in which we discharge some of that activation in the body, because the body's experience is driving the mind. The body's experience is driving the unhelpful belief systems, and the body's experience is creating a sense of urgency. But if we can work with the body's experience to help settle the body and perhaps also get the body a little bit more comfortable with unpleasant sensations, then there may be more and more of a tolerance for a slower pace in the longer term. And this is something that I have definitely experienced for myself. I didn't necessarily go in and think, I need to fix this about myself. But the more that I've worked with my nervous system over time, and given that it's been like 4 years and counting now, some of the things I used to do, I just don't even feel the need to do anymore. And it's not like I needed to, I've had to consciously effort it and be like, I must really not do that thing. Instead, it's just been like, that's just not what my system wants anymore. That's just not what my system needs anymore, because there has been this fundamental change on a nervous system level. So with those people who are more prone to doing too much, go, 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 sense of urgency, sense of rushing, we want to slow things down slowly at a pace that feels safe enough for the system, and have ways that we can discharge some of that buildup of sympathetic energy that is driving the behavior and the beliefs in the first place. So the next is freeze. So freeze is someone who wants to move forward, and yet when they do try to move forward, it might suddenly start to feel overwhelming. You know, that's the person when, you know, on the call, they're like, yes, I'm up for changing my diet. Yes, I'm up for taking the supplements. Yes, I'm up for doing these tests. And then you speak to them a month later and they're like, oh, I haven't ordered the supplements, or I've ordered them, but I've not started taking them, or I've got the tests, but I've just not done them yet. And I've made some changes, but then I keep on eating cake. So, you know, there's this desire to change, but when it comes to actually moving forward, they just might not have enough capacity or bandwidth to be able to cope, or the actions which they thought that they could do are actually now starting to seem too big. So we've got the change seems overwhelming and our bandwidth for change seems too small. And so the solution here is to shrink the actions. You know, what might be a small step forward for me could be a really big step for someone else. And therefore, if we're trying to move forward, often we can judge ourselves because we're like, oh, I can't do the whole thing, therefore I'm going to do nothing at all. Like, let's use dietary changes as an example. I can't start eating a ketogenic diet, therefore I'm just going to keep on eating sugar and processed carbs, instead of taking it step by step. And well, let me just start by adding more protein at breakfast. Let's forget about the ketogenic diet and just let me make sure every morning I have enough protein. And that might be the only step that you take. But over the course of 6 months, through subsequent steps, eventually you arrive and you have implemented the ketogenic diet. It just didn't all happen in 2 weeks. So we can shrink the actions to smaller, more tolerable steps. And this is a lot of the work that I end up doing with clients is, you know, when you first meet someone, you're both getting to know each other. And then you're like, well, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, because my job is to find the solutions. So like, I'm like, here, you can do all of these things. All of these things would be supportive for you. But also knowing that it's completely unrealistic for some people to go away and in the first month implement all those things. And so then we have to have the conversation, like, what's going to be manageable for you? What's the first step? What can you do now? And helping people break things down into tolerable steps. And then being non-shaming if they haven't been able to take action on those steps. We just have to work out why. Now, that might be when a client sends an email, and I haven't implemented all the things we spoke about, and need to delay my appointment. And very often I'm like, no, this is when you come to your appointment, so we can work out what's caused the delay and how we solve that problem for you. So we want to shrink things down to smaller, more tolerable steps. And we also need to work at expanding our capacity. So freeze is when things have become too much, too many demands, too little support. And so here, instead of the action steps being about behavior change or diet or supplements or testing or whatever it might be, maybe some of the steps are, how do we give your system more support? How do we create more space for you? How do we create more rest? And very often it's helping people to connect with what helps them feel a little bit more supported in life, whether that is time in nature, whether that is implementing daily naps, whether that is just giving them permission to watch some TV and read a book. You know, people can be really hard on themselves, especially with attitudes around rest. And sometimes we just have to say, okay, why don't you just spend a bit of time doing some things that help you feel a little bit better about yourself? And then when you feel a little bit better about yourself, because you've done the things that help you feel more present, help you feel more grounded, help you feel good, then what is one manageable step that you can take in the direction of where you want to go? Whether that is a dietary change or starting a new supplement or whatever it might be, a movement routine or some lymphatic drainage. The list is endless in terms of the actions that people can take, but that's not what this episode is about. This episode is about helping you to actually take the actions. And so then the final sort of way that we could potentially show up in our healing journey is in this more avoidant or shutdown state. And if we're operating from this place, often motivation can feel low, or we can be very easily overwhelmed. But when we get overwhelmed, we tend to go more flat and shut down and avoidant. Or we may just be avoiding addressing certain aspects of our health. And, you know, as I said, I resonate with all of these different states. And, you know, for the longest time, I think I was in complete avoidance of my health issues, which is why they ended up getting to the point that they did. But a more kind of recent and tangible example I can give is there are still ways in my life that I go into the state of avoidance and shut down. And this is actually a funny story. A while ago, I was driving my car. I think it was like a Tuesday morning. I was just coming home from the gym and the oil light came on my car. And I noticed that I've never had to put oil in my car before. It's always been done for me or at the garage. You know, it's just not, it was a new thing that like, I didn't know how to do it. And perhaps that sounds really ignorant, but that was my experience on the day. And I know because of the awareness I have now in my nervous system, I noticed there was a part of me which was like, I could just ignore this. I'm just going to pretend that this didn't just happen and I'm going to go home and carry on with my Tuesday. And obviously you can't do that. You need to put oil in your car. But there was a very, very strong part of me. I was like, I'm just going to pretend this isn't happening right now. And then I was at the supermarket and I got in my car and the oil light came on again. And there's a garage just by the supermarket. So I was like, okay, you can do this. But it was not easy. There was definitely a part of me that wanted to shut down, ignore, avoid, and just continue with whatever I had else to do that day. So I went into the garage and looked at all the different oil options. I was like, I don't know what oil I need for my car. Just kind of like grabbed one off the shelf. This is where the story gets a little bit funny. And went to go and pay. God bless the man at the cashier at the till. He was like, you do know that this is blah, 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 blah. I can't remember what it was. And I said, what does that mean? He said, this is for lawnmowers. So this is for lawnmowers. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's not going to work. And then fortunately, some very kind man said, just like, you know, what type of car do you have? You can just Google online and then you'll find out what you need. And I tried to Google and I couldn't work it out. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Whole Foods. I'll pay the extra money for somebody to just tell me what I need and then change it for me. But then at least I'll know for the future. So I went to Whole Foods. Lovely man there helped me. And I said, I want to watch you do it so that I know for next time what to do for myself. And then after all of that, me almost buying the lawnmower oil, there was a sense of achievement. I was like, I did it. You know, I didn't just shut down. I didn't just ignore. But it was just one very small, tolerable step at a time. Like, okay, let's go and have a look at what's available. And let's naively pick one and try and pay for it. But then, okay, that didn't work. Don't need to shame yourself. Access your inner resourcefulness. What else could you do? Okay, you can go to Whole Foods. Speak to someone there. Unfortunately, that felt like a safe space for me because I've been before for another issue with a light on my car. And I had a really positive interaction with someone there. And so therefore, it felt like a safe space that I could go. So went, had my safe space, and then I was in a more regulated state because I was, yes, I'm doing this, I'm taking action, someone's helping me, and the problem was solved. But where I'm going with this long-winded story about lawnmower oil is that sometimes even small things can feel really, really big. And that can often just be a reflection of the state that our nervous system is in. And therefore, if you're noticing that you tend to avoid, if you're noticing that you're tending towards shutdown, then it's really important here that we do kind of like the same thing that we would do in freeze, which is we want to really channel ourselves towards the things that help us feel good in our life. And we also really want to break the steps down to small, manageable, tolerable steps. And also, I guess, you know, sometimes with this type of more shutdown response, sometimes it can be very flat. It can be very low. It can be a very depressed system. You may need to work through some of those emotions, some of the sadness, some of the depression in order to lift the system. We might also just need to create a little bit of movement, even if the idea of tackling your health feels too much. Is there something small that you could do, even if it's unrelated to your healing? You know, could you just do a little bit of movement, even if it's just, you know, contracting and relaxing your muscles in bed, or a few arm circles or a few ankle circles, or just bend your knees, straighten your legs a few times. So just something very, very small could start to wake up your system again. Listening to music, just really listening to some music that really resonates with how you're feeling, that you can connect with, can be, you know, really, really positive, depending on capacity, even a little bit of a sway or a hum or a little bit of a dance, just something to bring a little bit more energy into the system, even if it's unrelated to, you know, what you think you have on your to-do list in order to heal. But just starting to notice how you can start to mobilize and build capacity in your system to bring back some more of that mobilization energy back in. And then, you know, you do a little bit of mobilization and then you can rest again. But your nervous system will remember that mobilization. And over time, you can maybe do a little bit more. And then perhaps there is energy that comes in to handle some small, tolerable steps that can help you move in the direction of healing. But also just to say is that we shouldn't confuse our tiredness and our need to rest, which is a genuine factor in fatigue, with shutdown. Sometimes we're just tired and we just need to go to bed. Sometimes we're just tired and it's been a long day and we've had enough and it's just time to not be doing. So we do want to give space for the sort of genuine tiredness that comes with fatigue, but then also pay attention to if we're sort of moving away from or avoiding other things that could be supportive in our healing journey. So I hope that that episode has been helpful for you. Perhaps there's a little bit of self-reflection. You can consider, you know, which one of these different ways you tend to dominate in. Are you more of operating from a place of regulation, or are you more operating from a place of sympathetic activation or freeze or shutdown? And based on some of the solutions that I've offered up today, with all the kindness and compassion for why you operate the way that you do, what is one very, very small change that you could take into your healing journey? And I will leave you with that as food for thought. It has been wonderful sharing with you today. I'm sitting here in my little sunbeam, soaking up some of this winter sun. So it's been a lovely way to record a podcast. And I will see you all in the next episode. Have a wonderful fatigue recovery day.